on Annenberg Radio News.
He has really taken a very holistic approach that has been nothing short of revolutionary in terms of the response to gangs and gang violence.
L.A. Police Charlie Beck gets a high praise as he heads to London to share his know-how at a global conference on gang violence in London. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, October 11th, 2011. I'm Tiffany Brannon. 40% of the murders in Los Angeles take place in South L.A., making officers there the busiest in the city. A partnership between L.A. Police and the FBI has helped solve murders of more of those cases. But, as Ariel Edwards-Levy reports, the program faces the possibility of budget cuts.
L.A. Police Chief Charlie Beck says he's proud of the results from Save Our Streets, a collaboration between South L.A. officers and the FBI.
Nobody works better than the FBI and the LAPD. It cannot be overstated what difference has been made in South L.A. because of this collaboration.
This year, the task force solved 50 murders, the vast majority gang-related. They included the shooting of a young mother on Christmas Day and a 14-year-old boy riding his bike. But South L.A. is still far from safe. That was underscored yesterday by a deadly shooting in Algin Sutton Park. And nearly 1,000 murders remain unsolved, some dating back to the 1970s. Beck says Save Our Streets could help. But he worries the program won't be renewed. Save Our Streets relies on hundreds of thousands of dollars in federal funds.
It is a sad but true statement to say that our ability to solve crime is often hampered by lack of funds. And so when we can get federal funds and we can get federal support, we can make a lot of progress, as has been evidenced by this task force.
Deputy Chief Pat Gannon says the LAPD could use the help.
The work goes on with the resources, without the resources, and we seem to get the job done. Having the FBI really puts a jump start, kick start into some of the cases that may have fallen behind.
Officials say they're hoping for a decision in the next 6 months. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
Koreatown real estate developer Alexander Hugh has been found guilty for making illegal contributions to Mayor Villaraigosa's 2009 re-election campaign. A city ethics commission imposed a maximum fine on Hugh of nearly $184,000. The commission found there was no evidence that Mayor Villaraigosa was aware of the donation. Hugh pleaded guilty to 5 felony counts for money laundering earlier this year. The LFI Unified School District Board passed a resolution to prevent dating violence today. Megan Suisse reports on why the move gained unanimous support.
Just 2 weeks after the alleged murder of a young girl by her boyfriend, the LA School Board's vote to expand education on dating violence has added poignancy. Board member Steve Zimmer, who sponsored the resolution, isn't sure the program would have prevented Cindy Santana's death. She was killed September 30th at Southeast High School. Her ex-boyfriend, Abraham Lopez, is in custody for stabbing her.
Policy is not consolation. And policy can't reverse that tragedy. But what we're trying to do today is make sure that anywhere in this district, when someone comes forward or a family comes forward, that school will have the resources to make sure this never happens again.
The resolution will expand to the programs of Peace Over Violence, a nonprofit organization that runs violence prevention programs in a number of schools. Each school will have a violence prevention coordinator, and students will learn about healthy relationships. Patty Giggins is the group's executive director.
Children do not invent violence. They learn it from living in the adult world that we have created for them. If violence is learned, it can be unlearned.
The board passed the resolution unanimously on consent, but the funding has yet to be secured. Zimmer says the program will cost $2 million a year.
We're funding all types of reform. You can't reform anything if kids aren't safe. This is not like words on a piece of paper. You know, this is about changing things on the ground at schools.
Peace Over Violence will continue to work with Zimmer's office to resolve the funding issue. Megan Suisse, Annenberg Radio News.
Some residents of South Los Angeles are speaking out in support of Sheriff Lee Baca. The sheriff is facing criticism over allegations that his deputies have abused inmates in county jails. Rosalie Murphy reports.
The ACLU recently revealed that they're investigating widespread inmate abuse in LA County prisons under the supervision of Sheriff Lee Baca. Baca responded last week by meeting with inmates, collecting their concerns, and beginning an internal investigation to look into their allegations. But Peter Eliasberg of the Southern California ACLU says Baca's latest investigation is nothing but a PR effort to cover up years of verbal harassment, beatings, and tasings.
So all of these things add up to not only a pattern of abuse, but a pattern of...
The ACLU recently revealed that they're investigating widespread inmate abuse in LA County prisons under the supervision of Sheriff Lee Baca. Baca responded last week by meeting with inmates, collecting their concerns, and beginning an internal investigation to look into their allegations. But Peter Eliasberg of the Southern California ACLU says Baca's latest investigation is nothing but a PR effort to cover up years of verbal harassment, beatings, and tasings.
So all of these things add up to not only a pattern of abuse, but a pattern of investigations that Inspector Clouseau wouldn't do. They were so poorly run, and so much designed not to get at the truth.
On the contrary, Baca says he hadn't looked into deputies on this scale because for years, he simply didn't know about physical abuse or unsanitary living conditions. He didn't even know how badly inmates needed soap or extra blankets.
I'm willing to learn the lessons. I'm willing to engage my department's deputies so they can learn the lessons. And the lessons aren't learned just by training and policy and supervision.
If Baca is trying to preserve political support, he's popular in South Los Angeles, promised Dr. Sandra Moore today. She chairs both Concerned Citizens for Fair Policing and the Citizens Advisory Board and hosted a press conference in Watts today.
So I just want the community to know he's not resigning. We won't allow it. He's not going anywhere. He'll be here. But we're going to work with him side by side. The ACLU could have the same opportunity.
Though the ACLU has demanded Baca's resignation, Moore's panel of about a dozen neighborhood organizations like hers pledged unflinching support for the sheriff. Rosalie Murphy, Annenberg Radio News.
It's going to be hot and sunny over the next few days as Los Angeles moves into a heat wave. Tonight's low will be 61 degrees, tomorrow we have a high of 93, and Thursday will be even hotter at 94 degrees. Later on Annenberg Radio News, Occupy LA enters its 11th day and the movement shows signs of unrest among its growing ranks. Volunteers combed through the streets of Watts this morning, part of a campaign led by a national organization called 100,000 Homes. They are trying to find and identify the area's most vulnerable homeless. Ellen Castor reports.
She and three other volunteers walked from corner to corner around Watts, surveying and interviewing over 165 people living on the streets. Noel is working on behalf of 100,000 Homes, a national movement to find and house the most vulnerable of America's homeless. She's learning about who they are and why they're there. She has candid conversations, gathering information that will position the homeless on a vulnerability index. The vulnerability index is a tool organizers use to learn about the health conditions of people on the streets.
If people don't get off the street, their mortality would be impacted. And so based on whether they have a chronic condition plus a co-occurring disorder, meaning they have substance abuse and or mental health issues, or they've been on the street for longer than X number of years, they would then be considered folks. And if they're willing and want to get housing, we would try to help get them housed.
On Friday, 100,000 Homes will identify 5 to 15 homeless people in Watts who are eligible and willing to receive help. Housing providers in Watts will then offer them services that will place them in their new homes. For the most part, the people Noel has identified have been receptive to her efforts.
Sometimes they're not as forthcoming, but once you start talking to them, they open up a little more.
Among the other criteria, volunteers are also looking to identify people who qualify for government subsidies but may not know it. The problem is, in order to administer a subsidy, candidates must first be identified. That's where this campaign comes in, according to Jake McGuire, a representative from 100,000 Homes.
We as a society have made, you know, broad commitments to certain groups of people, like veterans, seniors, people with AIDS, that we don't want those people to be experiencing homelessness. It's important to us as a nation that those people be inside.
So far, 100,000 Homes has housed just shy of 11,000 people nationwide. McGuire says they are on track to reach 100,000 by July of 2013. Watts is not alone. Over 100 communities have joined the movement, and the number is expected to keep growing. Ellen Castor, Annenberg Radio News.
Los Angeles Police Chief Charlie Beck is traveling to London this week to discuss how to combat gangs and gang violence. He'll be meeting with law enforcement agencies from all over the world. Today, we are joined by international expert and senior policy advisor on gangs and youth violence for LA County, Dr. Georgia Leap. I asked Dr. Leap why the global conference wants to hear from Chief Beck.
Crime is at a 40-year low in Los Angeles, in the city as well as the county of Los Angeles, and gang-related crime and violence is also at an incredible low. You know, this is a city that lived through the decade of death from the late 1980s until the late 1990s and continued to have a problem with gang violence up until 2004, 2005, when we began to see the beginning of a change. And that change has come to fruition. And I think his expertise and his experience is very, very important to listen to. Charlie Beck has not made gangs and gang violence the exclusive problem of law enforcement or the LAPD. He has reached out and integrated criminal justice approach with nonprofits and community-based organizations. He has really taken a very holistic approach that has been nothing short of revolutionary in terms of the response to gangs and gang violence. And I think it's certainly a useful approach, not just in Los Angeles, not just in America, but internationally.
And what has the LAPD and the city of Los Angeles, also Chief Beck, done right in combating gangs?
There's two things, and they're major. One is they have put more officers on the street who are now officers of color, who come from the communities, who are recognized in those communities, and who work together with their community, so that it's not just outside police officers coming in to combat gang violence. It's people who work with the community. And that's part one. And there is a big police presence. It cannot be underemphasized. The second thing is he and the LAPD work with community agencies. I do research with a lot of these places. I do evaluation research, and I've done it with street interventionists, with communities and schools. We Care Outreach in Jordan Downs, Project Fatherhood run by We Care Outreach in Jordan Downs, Homeboy Industries. And in all of these places, Charlie Beck has made a real effort to be a part of things and not just stop by, but to actually integrate his officers and his staff with these different community-based organizations and nonprofits. And it's yielded incredible results.
So what kind of tactics do you think he's going to be sharing in London?
I think he's going to talk about that. I think he's going to talk about, you know, deploying law enforcement to hotspots. I think he's going to talk about the process of violence interruption. I think he's going to talk about the importance of community partnerships, that law enforcement absolutely positively cannot do this alone. I think he's going to use the words that, frankly, are repeated over and over again and are getting a bit hackneyed. We can't arrest ourselves out of this job. And I think he's going to talk about partnership, because that's what's really worked here in LA, and it has applicability on an international stage as well.
If you could just say something. For more on that interview, tune in to AnnenbergRadio.org. Occupy LA is slipping into its second week in front of City Hall, and like any community growing faster than it can handle, cracks in the structure are already appearing. Kyle Tabuana-Froli reports on the differences between those who want an order to their outcry and those who don't.
Among the cardboard signs and Ridgeway tents downtown, all of Occupy LA's protesters are angry about something.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a growing anger against the protest itself, and it's coming from the people from whom you'd least expect it.
And the worst part about all that is that I just, every day I'm questioning, like, what am I doing here?
That's Evelyn Roberts. She's in her 20s and working a job, and here, on three separate action committees. She got 3 hours of sleep last night, and she's tearful with stress. She's been marching, yelling, and camping with Occupy LA for more than a week, and she's way past the honeymoon.
And I wasn't expecting it to be easy, but having never been through this experience before, I had no idea how hard it was going to be.
To get to the root of her troubles, we have to get to the root of Occupy's philosophy.
No singular individual is allowed to be in charge of anything. No one is in charge. It's all committees. It's all consensus groups.
And that's Brian Parsons. He's the caretaker of the pop-up library at the protest and is really optimistic about the no leaders approach.
Well, what's happening is as this experiment seems to be working, it's flourishing all across the country. Every single city at this point is experiencing growth.
And to Roberts, though, growth isn't worth a thing if the people joining the cause aren't pulling their weight. You know, picking up trash, speaking at meetings. And the key thing here is the experiment Parsons is talking about. Occupy LA is trying to show the U.S. that Americans without a government or a leader won't explode into anarchy, that everyone can be equal. But Roberts, who feels stepped on, is caught between what she wants and what she's getting out of the movement.
That by now, everyone should have about an equal workload, yeah. And it's definitely not worked out that way. There are a lot of people kind of just riding on our backs.
Yeah. She's not the only one who feels this. As I was leaving, I passed a committee hashing out who was supposed to do what in camp. It was messy and loud and democratic. But this is a protest trying to rework how America operates. And what did you expect? Kyle Tabuenfroli, Annenberg Radio News.
Charles Drew University of Medicine and Science has struggled financially in the past few years. But as Alex Norwick reports, the university's coffers are now much larger.